Hello.
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 Hello, my name is Matthew West, and I'm the host of this podcast. It's called the Matthew West Podcast. I really hope you like it.
Hello.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Matthew West Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew West, and as always, I really hope you like it. And guess what? Live music is slowly coming back to life, and I want to let you know I've got a few shows coming up this weekend, actually. March 11th, Atlanta, Georgia. March 12th, Memphis, Tennessee. March 13th, Joplin, Missouri. And March 14th, Kansas City, Missouri. Now, I want to remind you, these are very small shows because we're keeping it safe and socially distanced. So a good portion of the tickets have already been sold. It's the Truth Be Told acoustic tour. If you live anywhere near there and you want to get to the show, make sure that you go to MatthewWest.com/tour right away to snag your tickets. And I hope to see you there. I can't wait to be on stage singing in front of you in person and hearing you sing back through a mask. Oh, it's going to be glorious. All right, let's get on with today's show. Let's do this. Man, I am so excited for today's guest because not only is she appearing on the podcast, but we're celebrating the release of a song that we just recorded together. I'm a huge fan of her music. Her voice is pure. It's honest. In other words, she lets the truth be told. She's been dominating the country music radio charts, which is rare for a female artist to do. She's had multiple number one radio singles, over 1 billion streams, and she just released a powerful new EP called 29. Now, on Friday, March 5th, she just released one more song, and it happens to be a duet with yours truly. I'm still pinching myself, actually. I couldn't be more excited for the world to hear our new version of the song, Truth Be Told, featuring today's guest. So without further ado, let's go to the Story House with my friend, Carly Pierce. So, the great Carly Pierce, thank you for coming to the Story House today.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start off by asking you a very serious question. I want to get right to the important stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I saw that you take your cat on a walk with a leash. I haven't seen this before. And I just saw a picture on Instagram of you walking. It looked like two dogs and a cat. So this is a two-part question.
Yes.
Number one, are you okay?
I know, right? I think I'm okay. I'm not 100% sure, okay, but I'm pretty sure I'm okay.
Okay. And number two, are you starting some sort of a pet walking business because of COVID and the pandemic?
I thought maybe this could be my slogan instead of two men in a truck, two dogs and a cat.
Two dogs and a cat.
Yeah. So if anybody needs it, I'm
Do
here.
People walk cats regularly? This is not something I've seen in our neighborhood, maybe on your side of town.
You know, so the cat, her name is Emmy Lou. She's my parents' cat. And I quarantined a lot of the beginning of quarantine with my parents in Alabama. And the cat every day would act like it wanted to go out. And I was like, what's wrong with Emmy Lou? My mom goes, as serious as a heart attack, oh, she's wanting to go on her afternoon walk. And
what?
I was like, what? And so I was like, we're going on a walk. So we go, and I'm like, Mom, film me right now. And it has become, like, my friend was listening to the radio the other day, and she's like, they weren't talking about your song. They weren't talking about your, like, anything. They were talking about you as a cat walker. I was like, you know, it's all right.
Hey, any press is good press.
I'll take it. I'm a weird cat lady, I guess.
No, but so the cat enjoys the walk?
The cat loves to walk.
This is fantastic.
It's bizarre. I always wonder what people think when I'm walking down the street with the cat, though, because she's real big. She's a ragdoll cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it almost looks like a raccoon. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
And the cat, I always just picture cats like being able to somehow get out of a leash if you
I
were
know.
To take it. But they're. And your cat's name is Emmy Lou.
And then I have Johnny and June.
Okay.
The dogs.
So we're seeing a theme here.
We're a Grand Ole Opry band right now.
And speaking of the Grand Ole Opry, you have performed at the Grand Ole Opry many, many times,
yes,
right? How many times?
79.
79 times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty crazy given the amount of time you've even been in Nashville.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? And a lot of people don't know this, but in 2015, so 2 years before Every Little Thing ever hit, Pete Fisher, who was the general manager at the time.
Love Pete Fisher.
I do too. He started to mentor me, and I expressed my love of the Grand Ole Opry. I'd always wanted to be on that stage and wanted to kind of take it on the way I felt like Carrie Underwood did, as far as like really being an ambassador and it being a part of her brand. And so he started to mentor me and he let me play in May of 2015. So
even before your
before I ever had a record deal.
Oh, wow.
It was 2 years before. And so I feel like they were one of the very first believers in what I'm doing. And so they've been there for the whole entire journey and I love it.
You said 79 times?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
I know.
So now, are you an official member of the Opry?
I'm not, but it is like, if anybody's listening that knows anybody at the Opry, that is truly my ultimate dream.
I would say you're well on your way.
I hope so. I want to be.
So you moved to Nashville in 2015 or...
2009.
Oh, in 2009.
Yes.
Okay. And you moved from...
I grew up in a small town in Kentucky called Taylor Mill, and when I was 16, I saw an audition to sing in the country show at Dollywood.
Yes.
It was called Country Crossroads, and so I convinced my parents to let me pick a homeschooling program that would get me into college, even though I knew I didn't want to go to college.
Yeah.
And I moved over to Pigeon Forge and did shows over there for 2 years, and then I moved to Nashville when I was 19.
Unbelievable. So what was the highlight of working at Dollywood? Did you get to meet Dolly while you were at Dollywood?
I did a few times, and it's been a really full circle moment. This past Christmas, she asked me to be a part of her Christmas special.
I saw that. What was that like?
Oh my gosh. I mean, all of my friends that worked with me at Dollywood, they were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this is happening. But she was, and still is, just to me, the ultimate goals, hashtag goals.
Right,
just,
growing up.
Yeah, I always loved her. My grandparents loved her. I love her as a writer. I love her as a vocalist. I love her as a businesswoman, but I also love her heart and the way that she gives back and the way that she is just a classy, generous, giving woman.
She seems like the kind of artist also that would turn around and help the next in line.
She would.
And really champion the female artist coming up. Is that who she is?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's just such a special person. I don't really know how to explain it.
So to go from performing at Dollywood's, that tells me that you knew early on, so you had no intentions of going to college. You knew early on, I want to be a singer. This is what I'm put on this earth to do.
I really did. I'm sure you did too. It's like it just was... It was in my blood. I don't know how to explain it. I feel like that was what God intended for my life, was to pursue music. It was always, I never knew a day that I didn't want to be a singer and country. Like, country music was what I loved. Grand Ole Opry,
yeah.
Moving to Nashville, it just was what I knew.
Your voice sounds like it's what you were born to do.
Thank you.
I know there's a lot of artists who will have identity crisis,
yes.
Right? Trying to figure out what their lane is. But like, your voice, it literally sounds like... You know,
yeah,
and everybody else, when they hear you, becomes a believer in what you know. But were you on stage early as a kid?
Yeah, I grew up singing a lot of bluegrass. I fronted a bluegrass band when I was 11.
Fronted a bluegrass band.
It was literally like me and a bunch of men well into their 50s and 60s.
Just kind of cute and kind of creepy.
Kind of weird now that I think about it, but also cute.
Okay.
I started singing bluegrass and really got into that world and sang it like every church, tent revival. I sang it in all boys prison, like... Crazy stuff.
I bet you brought the house down there.
They loved it. It was a special moment.
Wow.
I've always wanted to be on stage and always loved it and was kind of always a shy kid. I remember I quit the cheerleading squad. I was a captain, but I wanted to sing with the band. So I've just always kind of been the music girl.
So you were the shy girl. Mm-hmm. Is that something you had to overcome or did something transform or transition when you got on stage where that was your chance to be more outgoing?
A lot of people, you get asked these questions, I'm sure, where they're like, tell us something that we don't know about you. And honestly, like when I walk into a room or an industry function, I would be okay. And Sam Hunt, country artist, he and I always have bonded over this.
Name drop. I like that.
I know.
That was good.
My buddy Sam.
I love Sam Hunt, by the way.
Sam's awesome. And he's really shy, too. And so I would truly be okay if I was just kind of like in the room. But something happens when I get on stage and when the lights come on that I feel the most understood. I don't know how to explain it because it really doesn't make sense, but I'm actually pretty reserved and pretty introverted in my daily life.
Which I think a lot of people would not expect to hear a recording artist describe themselves that way.
Right.
Or to know that a lot of us, I would say that I'm an extrovert by nature, but I've become like different extremes.
Yeah.
Like, so when I come off the road, I'm like... Emily Dickinson, like I'm, just kind of locked away, and my yes. wife has to say, no, we're going out, you know, yes. we can't go out anyway. So actually the pandemic has been okay in right, that sense right. for me. But I think a lot of people would expect, oh, that person who's super outgoing and talkative and a great communicator on stage, like you are, you get up on stage, you light up the stage, they figure that you're going to, you know, walk in and look to light up every room you walk into, but that's not the case.
No, I would be, and it's not that I'm perfectly content just kind of being in the room, but I don't really enjoy being the center of attention.
Where does that contentment come from? Because I feel like in some ways as artists, like we're looking for some sort of applause.
Yeah,
or like,
validation.
Yeah. Have you done any like virtual performances?
Yes.
And like, so I wonder if you feel the same way I do, is like we just did a virtual concert and you finish a song and you start to realize how dependent you've become on the response from the crowd.
You need that affirmation.
It's so
sometimes
awkward.
I clap for myself. Yeah. I'm like, yes, that was good job.
I was talking to a comedian friend of mine. I was like, why don't you come on like my podcast or whatever? He's like, no, because I can't deliver a joke and not hear the crowd's response. And I was like,
I get it. It's yeah. hard.
But so how can you in real life, like where does that contentment come from for you where you don't have to walk in and be the center of attention, even though chances are a lot of rooms you walk into, whether you like it or not, you'll become the center of attention because you're Carly Pierce.
Totally. You know, I think I have really good friends. I have really good family that my friends and my family did not change as this started to happen for me. So I feel like I've just been rooted in like humility. And don't really find, of course, I enjoy and need a certain amount of validation in my job. I mean, I love the crowd reactions. I want my songs to go up the chart, but I don't find my identity in it. And so I'm able to kind of separate it. Like when I'm home, I'm home. And when I'm with my friends, I'm with my friends. And when I'm not on stage, it's just kind of like a different part of who I am.
So your first radio single went number one, right?
Yeah.
Which... that's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so speaking of contentment and like knowing that's not necessarily who you are, but that's a great achievement to have. Mm-hmm. And then you've been blessed to have, I mean, was it your first three songs?
No. So I had two in between that weren't.
That
I had
weren't
a top 10 and then I had a top 20 and then I had my second.
Okay. So that's what I was curious about was after having your first number one, I'm just curious if we had a similar experience of, did you feel pressure when that second song came out and it, you know, maybe in the industry's eyes or with the number, it didn't hit the same peak position. Like, how did that affect you or did it rock you at all or was it okay?
I would say for me, it was my third single. It was chosen not by me. It was chosen by somebody on my team and it just sonically wasn't fitting for me. I didn't write it and it just was a little too pop for me. And I remember knowing it wasn't going to work. And that was so hard for me because my hands were kind of tied with that. And I wanted a single that was different. And I still think to this day would have been a better choice. But it was hard to not feel like I was failing in that moment of like, oh my gosh, this song isn't going the way that the other two did. And it's not sonically who I am as an artist. And I'm still trying to have to sell it. And so, yes, I Hope You're Happy Now, that for me was, you know, gave me my first CMA award and it was the biggest song of my career. And now I'm on to my next single, Next Girl. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it has to live up to I Hope You're Happy Now. Everything has to live up to that. And that's just like a crazy expectation that I think we all put on ourselves.
Well, it feels like the fact that the way you described yourself being able to walk into a room and you feel content, you don't have to be the center of attention, that seems to be something that would serve you well to go take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always going to be that industry pressure that we feel.
Of course.
Right?
But I think you have to remember, and I think this time at home of writing and getting a new project ready and having to find a different musical venture for me because my late producer passed away, I think it's made me realize that really all I can control is writing what I know and putting out the best possible music that I can. And at that point, like, it's up to God what's going to happen.
Was that third single something that really lit a fire in you to go, okay, from a creative standpoint, I got to make sure I'm not recording a song unless, like, moving forward, unless mm-hmm. I'm, like, passionate about this song and okay with this song becoming a song that I'm going to sing for the next 10 years or a song that goes to the radio. Did that kind of light a fire even for you as a songwriter? Because I know how involved you are in the writing process.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it also gave me a little bit of confidence within my team of speaking up for myself. I think this, yes, I was in Nashville for almost 10 years before it ever happened for me, but my storm of how every little thing happened, it was a SiriusXM highway find, and yes, literally overnight I had label deal offers, and it was so fast. And so I feel like it took me a little bit of time to catch up, to have the confidence to meet what was happening in my professional life, because I'd been told no so much. So I think that single, that third single, was kind of my moment of like, okay, I've been here long enough in the last year and a half to kind of like know what fans expect from me. They're not gonna, some people can record a song and it doesn't matter what it is, it's just gonna work. And for me, I think fans can tell if something is authentic or not, because I came out with something that was so truthful with every little thing. Oh, so they just expect that from me and they can tell.
I gotta tell you, just on a side note, every little thing always hit me in the best ways, like everything that I loved about Bonnie Raitt and like the song Alan Shamblin wrote, like I Can't Make You Love Me. Like there's, you know what I mean? Favorite. Like a song that doesn't, it doesn't get huge in the chorus because it doesn't have to. Yeah. And the way your voice carries, like I totally see what you're saying. Like to go from a song like that, it's almost like whatever song comes after that is going to have a hard time. I always feel like when a song does well on the radio, whatever song comes next is fighting against.
Absolutely.
So you almost have that going against you as well. But to come in now with Hope You're Happy Now, I was looking at the streaming numbers for that. Holy cow.
It was a big song.
Is that like your most streamed song now?
Yes, for sure.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was crazy. By the time, I remember over quarantine, they presented me before it was number one with a platinum plaque for it. And every little thing also had just gone platinum.
Dang.
But it was like 2 years later, every little thing went platinum. This song went platinum in its first year. And it was just like, that was such a blessing.
And it also brought you your first CMA award.
It did.
What was that like hearing your name called?
Oh my goodness. I mean, that was something else that I had always dreamt of, was I wanted to be a CMA award winner so badly. I never missed the CMAs. And I obviously had just a crazy year like all of us. And my personal life was just kind of really difficult last year, and to still feel like the country music community and the fans and the industry gave me this light of hope and just purpose in what I was writing. And it was such a gift and something that I really just don't know that I even have fully, like I look at the CMA award on my counter now and I'm like, did that really happen? It's
That's
just
amazing.
Crazy.
Where do you keep it in your house?
So I have, my dad's always like, this is a lot, but I have a wall. I live alone. So I'm like, you know what? I worked hard for this stuff. So I have like a wall in my living room because my house isn't that big. That's like got all my plaques.
Love
and
it.
I've won a few awards at this point. So it's like, it's the middle, the best award, like on,
of
not
course.
To say all the other awards aren't great, but that one's like the best.
And there's going to be more to come.
Oh, I hope so.
One of the things that I was thinking about your story as an artist, and there was something that I noticed that we had in common, and you and I, any artist knows how important it is to have champions in your life. Like, and really that person who sees the vision of your artistry and then helps everybody else catch the vision, because not everybody catches the vision right away. And for you, that was Busby. And for those who are listening to this podcast and don't know the name Busby, amazingly talented songwriter and producer in Nashville. And one of the things that we share in common is we both lost a champion too soon. My first champion who ran up and down Music Row on my behalf was Cindy Wilt, and she was a publisher. She signed me my first songwriting deal. And she, I don't know why I bring her up because it always makes me really sad, but she was the first one who caught a vision. None of the labels would sign me, but she would take my songs up and down Music Row. And if there was anybody cutting, like she would be like, you got to hear Matthew West. And and she passed away at 50 from cancer. And I was thinking about, you've just put out a song that is amazing. It's called Show Me Around. And it's really in honor of your producer, your champ. Would you say he was kind of your biggest champion in Nashville in the beginning?
Absolutely. I signed with Busby in 2015, and we wrote Every Little Thing somewhere in there. And he just, he wasn't afraid of the fact that I'd been passed on by labels. I had had a record deal on Sony when I was 22. nobody cared about me. It was back when females weren't working. Kelsey hadn't really hit at this point, or Marin, and it was just not a good time. But he believed in my voice and he believed in what I was doing. And what's so crazy and wild about Busby's story is the last song that he ever worked on and the last album that he worked on was my second album. And the last song was I Hope You're Happy Now.
Wow.
And he finished it to the point of he had cut Lee's voice on it, but he didn't get to finish it. And so I always said if the song went number one, I was going to tell this story. But Dan Huff actually came in with the kindness of his heart and finished it for us. Wow. Because Busby was sick. And Busby ended up passing away from glioblastoma brain cancer at the age of 43 after like weeks of being diagnosed. I think like just that chapter of my life set me up for I Hope You're Happy Now and set me up to really walk in that country sound that he helped with that song kind of like helped me to articulate and show me around. I was at his funeral and Barry Dean, who's an amazing writer, he was giving a speech and Busby has three daughters under the age of 10 and a beautiful wife. And he was talking about how Busby was in heaven. Busby was like such a man of God and just really didn't want to go, but knew where he was going. And he was talking about how Busby was looking at heaven as Disneyland. And he was like, he's finding all the places to show us when we get there and show his daughters and show his family. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this is such a beautiful way to think about our loved ones.
Yeah, I love that song. And it's on your new EP that just came out.
Yes, yes.
So, and the EP is called?
It's called 29.
Can you talk about the significance of that number?
Yeah, so I have a song on there called 29. And for me, 29, and I think for a lot of people, is a pivotal time because you're old enough, you're an adult, you've lived some life, but you're still excited and you still have wonder, and maybe life hasn't turned out exactly how you thought it would, and you've just had some grit. And for me, 29 was a huge pivotal year for me.
Wow.
And this collection of songs is kind of about me losing Busby and finding my way through that and losing, you know, I got married and divorced at the age of 29 and just kind of hopefully a project that will give people hope and that there's light at the end of the tunnel and that you can go through it and it's all going to be okay.
You guys, with all the stuff that I'm juggling these days, I have learned the importance of finding the right people and putting them in the right place to help me, whether it's with the podcast or the music I'm making or the management company I've started. And I have spent so much time searching for the right people. Well, let me tell you something. If you're using anything other than Indeed for your hiring, you're wasting your time. Indeed.com is the hiring site. They help you find quality candidates instantly with Indeed Instant Match. So you can do the part you really need faster. Meeting and hiring great people. Now, unlike some other hiring sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility, delivering a quality shortlist faster. There are no long-term contracts. You can pause your account at any time, and you only pay for what you need. Now, this is what Indeed does. They search through millions of resumes, so you don't have to. They've got them in their database, and they'll help show you great candidates instantly with Instant Match. You see a great list of candidates with zero wait. Now, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined. That's pretty awesome. Want your quality shortlist fast? You need Indeed. Right now, our listeners get a free $75 credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/West. Indeed.com/West. The offer is valid through March 31st. This is Indeed's best offer available anywhere. Get a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/West. Offer valid through March 31st. Terms and conditions apply. All right, you guys, most people who know me because of one thing, my huge muscles. That's right, we're talking six-pack washboard abs. I know, it's not my music, it's the muscles. And now we're coming back to reality, and the reality is this, 2020, let's just say 2020 put a hit on the old dad bod. You know what I'm saying? So I'm stepping into 2021, working to get in shape. I'm trying to improve in every area of my life, and my physical health is one of those things. And I want to encourage you to do the same. I want to tell you about one of my new favorite things, Liquid IV. This is my favorite hydration product. With one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water, you get 2 to 3 times the amount of hydration as plain water. That's right. Plain water is lame water compared to Liquid IV. And maybe Liquid IV is going to want to trademark what I just said. They've got awesome flavors. My favorite flavor, passion fruit, because, well, I'm a romantic at heart. What can I say? Listen, I want to encourage you to check this out. You can grab your Liquid IV or their other great flavors, passion fruit, strawberry, nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code WEST at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code WEST at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code WEST.
Isn't that crazy how we can face some of the toughest battles of our lives and then out of that, like, songs of hope rise up?
Yeah.
When you look at this batch of songs, like, how is it, what kind of redemption do you feel when you listen to the music that's come out of some of these difficult chapters that you've had to go through in your story?
I'm a huge, do you know Lisa Turkhurst?
Oh.
Okay.
I love Lisa Turkhurst.
Okay, so.
I literally just wrote a song inspired by her latest book.
No way.
Have you
Forgiving
read
What You Can't
What
Forget?
What You Can't Forget.
Yes.
Yeah, we wrote a song called What You Can't Forget. I got to play it for you.
Oh my gosh, I need to hear it because
she's the greatest.
She and I have like become Instagram friends.
Oh, good.
And her story, I read her book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way.
Yes.
And in the midst of writing this music, and I had a fan just message me and say, you need to read it. And she had two moments for me that I think have helped me to put out this music and feel like this was my purpose. One, what obviously she, her husband, and she had some marital problems.
Yeah.
And she talks about just the beauty that comes from the ashes. And sometimes we have to go, we have to burn all the way down to be rebuilt, to be refined. And I feel like, and we all go through this, but for me, it was like, am I going to let this season define me or refine me? And the other thing that she said was that she felt called to share her story and share her truth, even though it was embarrassing and awful for her at times. But because she says, if I could change the perspective or change or give one person hope, it's worth it. And for me, that's what this music is.
So what's that like to live your story in a public platform, to go through difficult chapters of your story that you don't just get to keep to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
In seeing how Lisa carried that out, she actually wound up doing exactly what she said could happen for you and helping you see how you living out your story, people seeing you go through the difficult chapters you've gone through, brings them hope, whether it's through a song that you mm-hmm. write that came out of that mm-hmm. or just how they see you picking mm-hmm. up the pieces. Have you heard from people and fans sharing with you? I mean, they're clearly following you on yeah. Instagram and social yeah. media. What's that like to know that they're looking up to you, maybe going through a similar thing?
It's powerful. I feel a purpose. I certainly didn't know this was going to be a part of my story, and I certainly didn't know that I was going to write this music or that I was going to lose Busby or I was going to have a marriage that didn't work out. But I think what it has done for me is just give me new purpose and to be able to help people. And I hear these stories of when you're 29, you think, oh, well, I waited long enough to get married. Like, I'm smarter. I got my career. And it's like, sometimes it doesn't work out. And nobody wants to talk about young people with a divorce. But for me, now I'm able to give other women or men or people that are struggling, just I'm now a person that they can look up to of like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. And it's all going to be okay.
So our team reached out to your team.
Mm-hmm.
Because we wanted to do a new version of the song Truth Be Told.
Yep.
And AJ, who I wrote the song with,
yes.
has been a friend of yours for a long time.
Years.
You guys have written songs together, and he and I are just both huge fans of your voice. And so we thought, hey, let's reach out and just see if there might be any interest. And so when your manager was talking to you about the song, you said he said something to you that he didn't know. Did you already know this song? Had you heard it before? Or
and he, yes. I mean, I knew the song. I'm a huge contemporary Christian fan. I'm also a fan of yours.
Thank you.
So I definitely knew the song, but he said to me, hey, Matthew West reached out, da-da-da-da. And he's like, this song, I really feel like it speaks to your life. And obviously I had already thought that, but it was such like a God moment of I've wanted to be a part of something in the Christian world. And wow. just, it felt so on time to be able to be a part of a song that I feel like truly is like the redemption story for me. Oh, wow. This. So it just feels like another wink from God of like, so I'm just so happy to be a part of it.
I tell you what, when I hear stuff like that, it's just, man, for those who say there is no God, it's like, how can you deny somebody's involved in these intricate details of life? Because of all the people that we would have reached out to, and just to hear that, to hear you share your story as openly and honestly, even to hear you talk about Lisa, she was a guest on this show, and after we were talking about, and we've known each other for a long time, but just to hear how her books have spoken into your life.
Yes.
I want you to, your faith is important to you.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible to love Jesus and be in country music. No, absolutely. I'm just kidding.
I'm totally joking.
No, I'm totally joking. I'm a huge country music fan. Yes. And I love so many artists in the country industry. And there was a time where I was frustrated in my artist career.
Yeah.
And I was starting to get like some attention for my country writing, mm-hmm. my songs. And I was like, I kept feeling like I was hitting my head against the ceiling as an artist. And I was like, I'm just going to quit. And I had a country publisher offer me a deal saying, hey, man, this is your lane. And I remember like going, yep. And I went and I signed that deal mm-hmm. and I was going to quit. And then right after I signed that deal, like something happened in my life that made me completely shift course again. And I still write country, but like I've met so many people in the country industry whose faith is so real and so genuine, and they're living and they're such a light. And I want you to talk about like what your faith means to you and how it's helped you in your profession and throughout your life.
I grew up in a home of believers. My faith never wavered as a child. It was just kind of instilled in me from a very young age, and I grew up going to church, was very active in that. When I moved to Nashville, I actually was a worship leader at a church in Hendersonville.
Oh, wow.
For a while. And I have to say, though, it's been amazing to watch, and I've always said this, that God took me on just a journey of not really understanding why my timing wasn't working. Like, my flesh was like, but I deserve this music career now. And
right.
it's amazing to now look back and see how he protected me in so many ways, as far as not getting a deal too soon, or,
sure.
you know, just all the years that I needed to figure out who I was as an artist and what I wanted to say, and waited for that song. And I think over the last few years, I've had a lot of those moments too, of just feeling his mercy over my life, especially just through the last 18 months. And he continues to just, it's an overwhelming, I could like cry thinking about it, but it's just an overwhelming feeling of truly like knowing Jesus and walking with him, and having unwavering faith that no matter what season, it's a valley and you're going to get over it.
Yeah.
You're going to rise to the mountaintop and you'll understand it in time. And I think as we go through being artists, where it's very much like lots of valleys and then a mountaintop and then really low valleys,
yeah.
I think just having something that is so steady, like Jesus is so steady
yeah.
through it all.
I started a hook of a song. I never finished it. I feel like it was maybe just a song for me, but it was a song called Depends on the Day, and it just kept saying, you're my constant, you never go, I forget what it was, you never fade away, and your love never depends on the day.
Oh,
like,
I love that.
I always loved that thought of like, thank you, Lord, that like other people's opinions of me or my song on the charts
yes.
or my relationships with
yes.
people, like everything's always in flux. The stock market,
yes.
the pandemic,
yes.
you name it, but there's one thing that's constant. One thing I ask every guest before the end of our time together is, I talk about a blue couch,
mm-hmm.
and on the cover of my last album is a picture of me sitting on a blue couch. There's more rock star covers out there, I promise, that are better than that. But that has a personal significance for me because I was 13 years old, accidentally watching a Billy Graham crusade in the living room of my Chicago childhood home.
Yeah.
And that was a moment where like a preacher's kid kind of had something click, where it was like, okay, this is more than just the family business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually think God's talking to me. I think he's knocking at the door of my mm-hmm. heart. I think he wants to be my friend. And I think I want to say yes mm-hmm. and let him be the author of my story. And so I'm always curious to ask people, like, what their blue couch story is? Mm-hmm. Like, is there a moment mm-hmm. that comes to mind when I describe mine to you mm-hmm. where you're like, okay, there was a moment, or maybe, and the beauty of it is there's many moments along the way mm-hmm. if we're paying attention.
Absolutely.
Right? But is there one that comes to mind, whether recent or even as a kid, where you were like, okay, I think there's something to this?
I have two.
Okay.
One, when I was 16, I went to Bible camp, big
yes.
stuff,
yes.
and got baptized, and just remember that true pull on my heart of like, Jesus wants to be my friend. Like, I have to invite him
yes.
to walk with me. And this was kind of what gave me the courage to file for divorce. But divorce was on my heart, and I was wrestling with it because in my head it was failing God. I felt a lot of shame around that, and remember taking a lot of walks in my parents' little town in Alabama, praying and listening to podcasts. And I'm also a huge Joyce Meyer fan.
Mm.
And didn't know her story. I knew she was married. And I remember just every morning I would start and I was just so, so heavy. And out of nowhere in a podcast, it was like God just put his hands on me. And she out of nowhere talked about being divorced and that she had gotten married when yeah. she was young. And she was just like, you know, I don't know who needs to hear this, but there's no shame around that if God didn't intend that for your life. And I just felt it in the way I did when I was 16, of just like, God is right here for me. And it's just such an amazing thing to really feel those winks and feel his just mercy on
you.
That's
powerful.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's going to speak to somebody. I think that's speaking to somebody right in this moment, yeah. just like Lisa Turkers
yes.
said it could. And I want to just encourage you to keep like living your story the way that you are. Obviously, God's gifted you with a one-of-a-kind voice.
Thank you.
And your story is also one-of-a-kind. And so just, I'm so excited to hear what kind of music, redemptive music, that comes out of your story and your life moving forward. I think that's incredible. What would you say? It's no secret what a hard year people have all gone through, and 2021 begins, and it seems like, okay,
yeah.
more of the same, yeah. right? And there's a lot of people going through tough times. You know, what kind of message would you leave somebody who's listening to this right now with, just to encourage them during a difficult time?
No matter what you're going through, you know, I think we said this earlier, but we're all struggling and we all have moments. And just to, again, I had to make the decision, will I let this season define me or refine me? And
love
it's like
that.
We can all find areas of refinement during this time. And I just encourage people to find those and lean into it.
Love it. Carly, that's awesome. So we've had a great day at the Story House. You just sang on this song, Truth Be Told. The words we just sang together, can I really stand here unashamed, knowing that your love for me won't change? Oh God, if that's really true, then let the truth be told. You're living that. And I just want to thank you for being part of that song with me and for being part of this podcast with me. I know your story is going to encourage and help a lot of people find some freedom and some shame lift off their shoulders and know that God's going to lead us through the most difficult chapters of our stories. And those are opportunities for us to be refined.
Amen.
I love that. Not defined by yes. the difficulties, yes. but refined. So thanks for sharing that.
Thank you for letting me be a part of this.
You're welcome to come back to the Story House and be part of this podcast or sing on every song on my
next
record.
Come on, let me
you
add
literally
it.
Take every song and just make it better. So
no, let me
gonna,
add it.
We're going to post links to your new EP. That's amazing. And we're going to send everybody, and your streams are just going to go through the
they
roof.
They are.
Because
I knew
we
it.
Have so many listeners of this podcast.
I know it.
My mom and my dad are
and now
both
my
listening.
Mom and dad too.
So now we have four. So your streams are going to go through the roof. You're awesome. Thank you, Carly. Hey, now it's time for Songs from the Story House. Today's song from the Story House is a special version of the song Truth Be Told, featuring none other than the one and only, the great Carly Pierce. Take a listen.
Line number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask how you're doing, just smile and tell them never better. Lie number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. Truth be told, the truth is rarely told. No, I say I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine, hey, I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken, and when it's out, of control. I say it's under control, but it's not, and you know it. I don't know why it's so hard to admit it, when being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fault, there's no sin you don't already know. So let the truth be told.
At the beginning of the show, I described Carly Pierce's voice as being pure and honest, and I'm willing to bet that every single person listening to this podcast who just heard Carly singing the first part of Truth Be Told is nodding their head in agreement. There's just something special about it. She's got a God-given talent, and she's singing those words like she knows what they mean, and that means a whole lot to me. I tell you what, there's bucket list moments. You know, when we were thinking about doing an alternate version of this song, Truth Be Told, we began to think about whose voice would sound really special. And no lie, Carly Pierce was at the top of the list for me and my producer, AJ Prues. And we wound up making some phone calls, and my team got me connected with her team. And I'm just so glad that she said yes. It was a little intimidating going back in and singing this song with such a great singer, but I loved the way that our voices came together. Take a listen to this second verse and the chorus and us singing these harmonies together. Check it out.
There's a sign on the door, says come as you are, but I doubt it. Cause if we lived like that was true, every Sunday morning pew would be crowded. But didn't you say church should look more like a hospital? A safe place for the sick, the sinner and the scarred and the prodigals like me. Well, truth be told, the truth is rarely told. Oh, am I the only one who says I'm fine? Yeah, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. But I'm not. I'm broken. And when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know it. I don't know why it's so hard to admit it. Being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fault, there's no sin you don't already know. So let the truth be told.
One of the coolest moments was before we even started recording. Just as Carly shared on the podcast, she just kind of shared with me in the story house a little bit of her story and how this song resonated with her given what's taken place and, you know, her personal life and a relationship that didn't go the way that she hoped it would, and how she's got to go through all of that while having a very public platform, you know. And I just really admired how she opened up and let the truth be told, even on today's show. I feel like when I listen to this song, she sings these words like she means it, and I wouldn't have it any other way. There's nobody else that I'd want to be singing a duet with on this song. You know, as we turn the corner towards the bridge of this song, I just want to pass the baton on to you to follow Carly's lead. She really set an example of what it looks like to let the truth be told, not just in the singing of this song, but in letting her story be told on podcasts like this. And so as you listen to the words of this bridge, would you just be reminded that it's okay? You can give yourself some grace. God knows He's very well aware of the battle you might be fighting in your life. He's very well aware of the less than perfect parts of your life as well, whether it's character flaws or mistakes you've made or whatever you're beating yourself up over. Listen to the words of this bridge and be reminded that you can stand in God's presence totally unashamed, knowing that His love for you is not dependent upon your performance, all right? Now let that give you the confidence to let the truth be told and find the healing that God's offering to you right here in this moment today. Let these words wash over you. I'm going to stop talking and let you hear the rest of this song.
So let the truth be told. Can I really stand here unashamed? Knowing that your love for me won't change. Oh God, if that's really true, then let the truth be told. I say I'm fine, yeah, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine, hey, I'm fine. But I'm not, I'm broken. And when it's out of control, I say it's under control. But it's
He's my dad, and he gives good advice, and that's why the final segment of today's show is called Dadvice.
He is my dad, and he gives good advice, and that's why this segment is called Dadvice.
Dad, lately, I've found myself writing a bunch of new songs about one topic, heaven, and today's Dadvice is revolving around that. Send us out with some encouragement on something that's brand new and something that God has promised us.
Okay, Matthew, I'm going to talk about a brand new home, and I'm going to start by giving you a quiz about a movie in your childhood, and it involved an alien who landed on Earth, and your brother had pajamas. Do you know what the name of that movie was?
E.T. Phone Home.
E.T. Do you remember what the whole message of that movie was?
This alien was stranded on Earth and was trying to get back home, and this little boy and his friends, you know, tried to make it happen. So I believe that's the premise, but that's a classic.
I think you got the premise there. Maybe you feel this way, but I do, that sometimes I feel like E.T. and I long for home, but a home that God has promised. And so I want to just cover a few things. Number one, this world is not our home. Believers are visitors here on earth. We are aliens. Aliens means a foreigner, a stranger, belonging to a foreign country or nation. Charles Spurgeon said, "Hold everything earthly with a loose hand, but grasp eternal things with a death-like grip." This world is not our home. Paul said, "For our citizenship is in heaven," Philippians 3:20, "from which also we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Sometimes we get too comfortable here and thinking that that's all there is, but we can get pretty depressed if we think this world is all there is for life and beyond life. This world is not our home. We need to be reminded of that. Secondly, heaven is our home. John 14, Jesus said these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." Heaven is our home. We lived in the Chicago area, and same with the Nashville area. There's some pretty homes, pretty big mansions, and sometimes I start admiring them, and the Lord speaks to me and says, "You think those are good? You wait to see the home I have for you in heaven." And so we need to realize heaven is our home. And then what is heaven like? 1 Corinthians 2:9, "No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." In Revelation 24, it says, "So he will wipe away every tear. There will be no more death, mourning, crying." Heaven also talks about pearly gates and streets of gold.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom that.
That's awesome.
The conclusion here is we are strangers and aliens here on earth because heaven is our home. The next time you feel weary, lift your head to heaven and remember that your true home awaits you. Billy Graham said, "My home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world." There's an old hymn that says, "This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through." A brand new home awaits all of us who believe.
That's so good, Dad. I've been thinking a lot about heaven. Like I said at the beginning, you know, I've been writing a lot of songs about heaven these days. There's a chapter in my Hello, My Name Is book. The last chapter is called Life is an Airport. And it's just a reminder that we are not home yet. This is not the final destination. So let's not get too comfortable in the airport because we know there's a brand new home that's coming. Thanks, Dad. Hey, that's our show for today. I want to thank my guest, Carly Pierce, for telling her story, for telling it honestly, right? You know, we talk about it all the time with my song, Truth Be Told, and she did it. She just let the truth be told. She's had some ups and some downs, and she's seen how God has been faithful every step of the way. I just have to say how grateful I am that she would lend her voice to this special version of Truth Be Told. And I'm blown away. And I've become such a huge fan of her. I know that you guys listening to this podcast have as well. Be sure to check out her latest project, 29, especially the song Show Me Around. It is a powerful song about heaven. We're going to post a link to her latest project, as well as a link to the music video and our new version of the song, Truth Be Told, at MatthewWest.com/podcast. Also want to thank my dad, as always. If you want to find out more about our ministry, Pop We, you can sign up to receive a free weekly Devo from us. We'd love to include you in that. Over 50,000 people around the country are currently receiving that, and we would love to add you to the list. Go to MatthewWest.com/podcast to find out more about Carly Pierce and about our ministry, Pop We. And with that, I wish you the best day ever, okay? Go make the most of the one story that you've been given to write. And remember who the author of your story is. It's your story for His glory. Now go make it count. I'll see you next week.
Seriously, I do.